Introducing summer-powered offers from Vodafone. Get the stylish Samsung Galaxy A3 with 250 minutes and unlimited text for only £16 a month plus £10 up front. Check out all our summer-powered offers in store or visit vodafone.co.uk. Vodafone. Power to you.
Offer ends 16th of August. Minimum term agreement, credit check and terms apply. Each April, your bundle price will increase by an amount equal to the RPI rate published in March of that year. See vodafone.co.uk/RPI.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 20 Yard End Zone. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Paolo and Footloose. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Russ. Thanks for having us.
Hey, Russ.
Hey, listen. This is like a reboot. We used to have a show called Inside the CFL, and we thought, hey, let's start a CFL show in the middle of the season. So we did. And so, like, things are going to be working on the fly here. We're going to try and get the old magic back and see if we can't become, like, the number two show on the internet. Well, I don't think we could be the number one anymore, but I think if we shoot for number two, that's pretty good. You guys okay with that?
You know what? All I got to do is make the playoffs, and then anything can happen. And I think it's great to launch in the middle of the season because with so many guys injured throughout the league, they're airlifting guys in. So there's a bunch of new players this week anyway. So why not us, you know?
Sit in the chair, right?
There's a good slogan. It's a very good slogan. Well, the show is brought to you by CSE Games. We'll let Paolo talk about that more a little later. So let's talk. We got some breaking news. First bit of breaking news. This is a little crossover NFL news, but wide receiver Eric Rodgers, who is playing for the dreaded Chip Kelly and San Francisco 49ers, he signed this offseason, but he tore his ACL. So that's not good news for Eric. What do you guys think about that?
Paul? He's a talented dude. It's actually kind of a funny one with Rodgers turned into, you know, obviously a CFL All-Star. He got his opportunity based on his performance last year. He was actually a guy that the Ottawa Redblacks, Ottawa being my hometown, had mm-hmm. in on their, I believe he was a practice roster player in 2014, 2014 being a 2-16 expansion year for Ottawa, a pretty disastrous one. And the CFL All-Star, I guess, wasn't good enough to find a home there. So, kind of interesting. Sort of shows that thin line between, you know, whether it's CFL stardom, NFL stardom, and CFL practice roster. It's smallest differences, the smallest things that make such a difference in these guys' careers. It's pretty crazy.
I think too,
no
the
doubt.
Other thing you've got to look at is how fragile are the careers of these guys? And one, you know, it's not a matter of analyzing what happened so much as what happens to him next, and how hard is he going to have to work just to get another shot, and will he be at 100% at the level he is now? And for every guy that goes down, there's 100 guys that are right there waiting for an opportunity. So it's, you've seen it so many times in different positions. A guy goes down and somebody else comes in and Wally pips him. And it's such a hard fight, not just to physically recover, but to get your career back on track and to get the confidence of the scouts and coaches and management saying that, you know, this guy's not damaged goods. He's 100%. And so he's got a long road to recovery and a lot of hard work ahead of him.
No doubt. All right. So before we recap some of last week's action, it looks like the Ticats are going to go with Zach Collaros as their quarterback. And I guess because they lost 37-11, is that the reason why?
Well, Zach Collaros was their starting quarterback. He's one of the he's an all-star level player, and he went down with a knee injury last year. So Jeremiah Mazzoli from Oregon was filling in, and you know what? Mazzoli did well. He led the Tiger Cats to the Eastern Conference Final last year. He had some ups and downs this year. But the job was basically Mazzoli's when he came back. Caleros is from the University of Cincinnati, spent some time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before joining the Argonauts in 2012. But he's one of the marquee quarterbacks in the CFL. So to have him back will be a huge boost for the Tiger Cats.
Okay.
Yeah. 100%.
So what went wrong last week's game, yeah. Paolo?
What went wrong for the Ticats? You know, I think more than anything, it was a lot of rain. I think Jeff's going to get into it a little, or we'll get into it a little later on, but I believe it was a 2.5 hour weather delay before they kicked off in Winnipeg last week. And, you know, for a team from Hamilton coming, you know, coming across to Winnipeg, 2 hour time zone difference, and then to have to wait an extra 2.5 hours before kicking off. You know, it's going to be tough on anybody. And I was able to watch most of that game, even though I think the second quarter kicked off at, about 12:30 Eastern, or the second half, I should say.
Yeah, that sounds like a Delta flight delay in the States. They had delays all over the place Sunday. It hit Canada too.
Yeah, they didn't have Chick-fil-A set up in the food court at the stadium. That was the only difference. But yeah, you've got a 2.5 hour weather delay for lightning.
Yeah.
The most bizarre thing, and I've been involved in this game for I don't want to say almost half a century, but almost half a century, and that's the first time I've ever seen, you know, because lightning and they cleared everyone out of the stadium and underneath the stands and whatever. The referee, Andre Proulx, brings the captains into the hallway, into the concourse hallway, under, you know, in the bowels of the stadium in Winnipeg. And he has the captains line up and he does the coin flip and you can hear it ting on the concrete floor. And then, you know, it's like, okay, we'll like to defend this. And he had the captains switch ends in the hallway to notify which end they were defending. And in all of the time I have spent in Canadian football, from my dad playing to all my life and everything, I have never in my life seen the coin flip and a change of ends in the hallway. Like, that was they may as well have just got on their knees and played knees football in the hallway. I think that would have been great.
Knee football,
yeah,
is very underrated. My brother and I used to play that. We used to play that around the neighborhood. I was pretty good at knee football. That's probably before Paolo's time, though.
Yeah,
I just remember my mom coming home with a pair of Levi's for me every now and then, and within a weekend they'd be ripped to shreds because the knees would wear out because of my buddies and I'd be playing football in the carpet in the basement. But the one thing that's really funny about that Hamilton game is TSN was showing clips of they're showing clips of what's going on in the locker rooms, and there's like tables of guys in Tiger Cats uniforms playing cards. They're playing euchre or poker. I don't know what they were playing, but it's like everybody's sitting around killing time. And Hamilton came out and laid an egg. Their first possession, C.J. Roberts got a pick six, and they're down 34-0 before halftime. Like it was just a nasty half for them, where it's everything momentum just snowballed and avalanched, and Winnipeg just buried them. And you know, talk about Winnipeg. You know, we talk about quarterbacks and quarterbacks being replaced. Matt Nichols, who spent time with Dallas in 2010, is an Eastern Washington product. He's been bouncing around the league as a quarterback and sometimes starter. He was named Winnipeg starter last week, so this was his second start, replacing Drew Willey. And all of a sudden, Winnipeg is a juggernaut now. This guy just lit it up. Clarence Denmark was back. They had injury problems at the receiver core, and didn't matter whoever stepped in. It's just next man up, and Matt Nichols was on fire. Andrew Harris at running back had a good game, so he looked really good, and Winnipeg just handled the delay better than Hamilton did.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, did they show any Troy Westwood mullet flashbacks? Did they do that?
Yeah. With that single bar chin strap / mask. No, they didn't do that. But the interesting thing, though, is that that game, it was Milt Stegall night. And so Milt was featured predominantly on the, and he was part of the broadcast panel on TSN. So he was featured predominantly through the broadcast. And you know, it's funny, Milt said that you know, hey, it's great that there's a delay so that they can talk about me more. But it got to the point where it was awkward because the delay just lasted so long and so long. So 17,000 fans stuck out the delay in the 2.5 hour storm and stayed to watch the game.
What else were they going to do in Winnipeg? Come on.
Well, I don't
know. I mean, that's an impressive crowd. I mean, we're talking about a stadium that sits, a little over 30. And, you know, I think Winnipeg's been drawing probably around 25,000 a game earlier in the year. Just, you know, they haven't been the greatest. But for 17,000 people to stick around, just for Milt, that was pretty cool. I mean, it's one of those great kind of CFL things, you know. It's a caring fan base.
It's a real caring football kind
of
fan base, right?
What's a
caring football fan base like, Paolo?
What's a caring football fan base like? You know, in Ottawa, it's become a bit of a tradition that following basically every game, win or lose, you know, they're starting to let the fans on the field post game. Now, this may not be out of the ordinary in certain leagues, but I mean, could you imagine ever seeing something like that in the NFL? There'd have to be VIP passes and security clearances, and you know, I'm sure they'd charge for it, right? and post game has become this sort of, you know, this love-in for the fans and players to hang out, take pictures, meet and greet. It's pretty cool. It's
I don't think the NFL charges, but you have to be a VIP. That's all, like you said,
right?
Interesting. So before
the new stadiums and facilities, like Ottawa's got a brand new stadium. Winnipeg opened their new stadium up last year. Hamilton has a new stadium. Saskatchewan, who has easily the best fan base and most passionate fan base in the league, getting theirs. BMO Field in Toronto is intimate. So it's almost like the CFL is taking the model of MLS and it's saying, okay, let's get these moderate 25 to 30,000 seat stadiums and pack them and do it right and have the atmosphere just right for what they want. And BC Place has been redone, same thing. The fan bases have really responded to the new facilities, and Winnipeg is a great example of that.
Yeah.
All right.
Just
well,
one,
good
one
Saskatchewan.
Point,
hang on,
one
Paolo. Good
point.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, sure.
A good Saskatchewan update would be that their rookie kicker, Quinn Van Gilswick, boy, he really needs a vowel, is going to make his debut this week. So I just thought I'd mention that since we mentioned Saskatchewan. Go ahead, Paolo.
Thanks for that. I just the last piece on Winnipeg. That 2.5 hour rain delayed game still ended up pulling down over 500,000. I think it was 540,000 viewers. In Canada, you know, if you hit 1 million for any sports program, that's a pretty big number, or that's a very big number. So to get, you know, 500,000 people to stick with a game delayed that long, again, just one of those cool indicators that of how much people care about this league. And
no doubt, and
they love their football.
Jeff caught up with Milt after the game, and we're gonna play that. It'll be a bonus to the show. It'll be on our Audio Boom channel, so we'll certainly let people know how to get there. But if you type in audioboom.com and Sportsology, you'll get it that way, and we'll be able to hear that interview later today. All right, so now if we talk about the BC-Montreal game, BC pretty much just killed them, 38-18. We'll go with Paolo first. What was the difference in that game?
You know, from what I've read, because this wasn't one that I was able to watch live, but, you know, this is the continuing saga of Jonathan Jennings, young quarterback with the Lions. I'm sure our man Footloose has a little bit on his history, but, young quarterback, you know, one of those great CFL stories, a guy that's given an opportunity when BC's incumbent Travis Leway goes down to injury. You know, he's turning himself into one of those guys, one of those, you know, handful of CFL quarterbacks that are difference makers. And, you know, I think it was, you know, it's all about his development. It's all about his improvement as a quarterback. You know, some of these throws you see from this kid, impressive stuff. I'm not sort of a football purist, but you know, I've been impressed just watching the highlights, just seeing the way he's able to thread the needle. He's a real talent. BC's got something pretty special going down there.
Yeah, Jennings, 27 of 32 passing, 331 yards. He threw a touchdown, an unbelievable highlight reel catch by Manny Arsenault, where he went up in the air, was hit in the back of the knees and flipped over and hung onto the ball. But this guy has just been lights out since replacing Travis Lillet. Jennings played at Saginaw Valley State, spent some time in camp with the Chiefs and Lions and Packers before coming up to the CFL, and got his chance to play, and he's just been outstanding. The other thing in that, and Jeremiah Johnson, the running back who was with Ottawa last year and Toronto before that, he's been an absolute stud on the ground for BC, so their running game is really, really strong. Daron Carter, the son of Chris Carter, he's been just a vortex of controversy this year. He led all receivers with 115 yards and 7 catches. But again, this was just a game where momentum snowballed. There was a great fumble recovery for a touchdown by Lucius Purifoy. Like, is that a great name or what? Lucius Purifoy.
That's a good name.
Sounds like a Quidditch player from one of the Harry Potter books, but for Slytherin. It's such a great name. But anyway, he made the play of the game where he scooped up a fumble and housed it for BC, BC and Calgary just look like they're separating themselves from everybody in the Western Conference, and they've had two great games against each other. But Jennings has just been absolutely great.
All right, Paolo, what's your thoughts?
You know, Russ, you may recall earlier this year, Russ, our man Daron Carter, he's the guy who against Ottawa took a pretty big lick in the end zone on a gorgeous touchdown pass. The way he was able to hang on to the ball following big hit he took from it was Jermaine Robinson of the Red Blacks. He subsequently got up, ran his way down the field, and knocked over Red Blacks coach Rick Campbell. That was kind of the big highlight that was making the rounds. What was that now? About a month back. We're actually still waiting to hear if Carter is going to end up being suspended. After all, he was given a one-game ban, but appealed it. Apparently, because he may have suffered a concussion, or he's kind of convinced people that he suffered a concussion. So we still haven't heard about
that.
So
it's the Dennis Wiedemann.
Over a month out.
It's the Dennis Wiedemann defense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
His hearing's on August 17th, which is 2 days before they play Ottawa for a rematch. So all eyes will be on that for sure.
No kidding. Very very convenient. But to Jeff's to Footloose's point, what a talent. Maybe the best receiver the CFL's got at this point. Certainly in the top five, but. And he just keeps doing dumb things. I mean, what else can you say?
One really neat fact is that Kevin Glenn's kid has changed his hairstyle to be more like Daron Carter.
Yeah,
which I think is just classic. But you know what? As much of a Daron Carter is playing the role of Terrell Owens 2.0 up here, and he's been the controversy lightning rod. He's running his mouth. He's having fun. He's an entertainer and he's very magnetic.
All right. Well, let's keep it moving.
Maybe don't run over coaches though.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Let's keep it moving. Calgary beat up Saskatchewan 35-15. I do want to give a shout out to the College of Dental Surgeons in Saskatchewan. I don't think you're doing your job, but you could do better. But anyhow, Let's talk about the game. Come on, guys. It's a joke about people not having enough cheese in Saskatchewan. Anyhow, let's talk about the game for a minute, because then we're going to get into the Ottawa game and then we have a few other things. But, Paolo, we'll start with you. There was a little bit of history in this game. I guess that was the one big thing you could take out of it.
Yeah, let me flip that to Footloose. I think he was a little closer to that game. I actually didn't get a chance to review it. Sorry, Russ.
Sorry, Russ. I was just listening to all the listeners in Saskatchewan turning off the show.
No problem. They'll hang in there. They're good people.
Oh no, that comes from when we did the show 10 years ago or 8 years ago or whenever it was, and Davis Sanchez was on, and Sanchez said how scared he was about playing in Saskatchewan because there was a fan behind the visitors' bench that actually took his teeth out, his dentures, and threw them at Davis and clocked him in the helmet with them. So that's where that reference is from. But again, a pretty passionate fan base. Calgary again, they're just strong. Rennie Paradis has 5 field goals in the game. Andrew Buckley, the quarterback from the University of Calgary, comes in on short yardage, gets a touchdown. Anthony Parker gets a touchdown. But here's what's really cool about that game. Bo Levi Mitchell, he's 32-7-1 as a starting quarterback, and now has the best winning percentage of any quarterback in CFL history, and that includes Doug Flutie, it includes Damon Allen and Russ Jackson and Dave Dickinson and all of the greats. And Bo Levi Mitchell, you know, he was an absolute legend in Texas in high school football, and now he comes up and he's just had a phenomenal run as Calgary quarterback, and he looks unstoppable right now.
Okay, let's flip it to the Ottawa game. They beat Edmonton 23-20. Paolo, a close game, and then there's a little bit of discussion after the game.
Yeah, this was definitely an interesting one. The second time these teams have faced off since they faced each other in the Grey Cup game, which Ottawa lost. That was was actually the first Grey Cup I attended since 2005 in Winnipeg. So, fond memories, even though my hometown team, the Red Blacks, didn't come out on the right end. But anyway, smash mouth football. It was kind of old school, hard hitting. Maybe more from the Ottawa side than the Edmonton side. Mike Riley, the Eskimos quarterback. I mean, he's kind of the class of the league. Him and Bo Levi Mitchell have kind of been the future stars or stars at the quarterback position this league. And he was knocked down a bunch of times. I think Ottawa ended up taking something like 4 or 5 roughing the passer penalties, but they were all over him the whole night. And I guess kudos to Ottawa, a lot of controversy that they were dealing with as well, coming off a loss against Toronto, injury to their, I guess we'd call it de facto starting quarterback in Trevor Harris, and the return of the young 41-year-old most outstanding player from last year, Henry Burris, who looked less than great in week 6 and came back against Edmonton, had a strong game, had a lot to say about his strong game. But ultimately, him and the D were able to lead the Red Blacks to, for them, what ended up being a huge victory in a very tight, East Division. So Footloose, I'm sure you've got some thoughts on Mr. Burris.
Well, you got two minutes, Footloose.
It's all about, you've got last year's best quarterback playing while this year's best quarterback is hurt. And Ottawa has the luxury of having 2 superstar quarterbacks. Trevor Harris played college ball at Edinburgh, played with the Jaguars for a while, bounced around Arizona Rattlers, Hartford Colonials, Orlando Predators, a few teams like that before joining Toronto. And then Ottawa, and he ripped the league apart before he went down with his ankle injury. So there's a lot of controversy. The one thing to remember, though, with Burris and Harris is that they are great friends and great teammates and help each other. And while everybody's creating a quarterback controversy, these two guys, whoever's in there, the other guy's supporting them and helping them 100%. So that's one thing that we have to remember about that. We all wonder how short the leash is for Henry Burris as the starting quarterback once Harris is back.
Yeah, okay. When it comes to quarterback controversies, I think – sorry, Russ.
Just no, go ahead, Paolo, if you want to just add that, then.
Yeah, thanks. You know, when it comes to the quarterback controversies, I mean, when the team is winning, how can you say there's a controversy, right? Really, the reason this has finally come to a head, I think, and maybe why Burris, you know, had some of the reaction he had after the game, is that there's, you know, they are coming off, what were they, 1-2, Ottawa's 1-2-1 in their last four games. So they're losing games. And when losses start to pile up, that's when, you know, things get a little tight, gets a little hot under the collar. So, yeah, while I haven't really bought the whole QB controversy in Ottawa thing for most of the year, now it starts to have a little credence, you know. If you're not winning games, then people are going to be looking at the next guy. And, you know, one of the reasons why I was a little surprised by some of what I heard from Burris at halftime and postgame.
Okay. We're running a little low on time. Paolo, why don't you tell us about CSC games? Give us like a quick minute and a half recap on that.
Sure. Thanks. And, yeah, I mean, we're happy to sponsor this great little podcast. Excited about what we can do. CSC Games is a board game manufacturer. We've been in the business since 2004. We're an NHL licensee. We're also a licensee of college football. We do a number of entertainment products. The majority of what we do is our board games and card games. A couple of sort of more recent items. We're just returning from Gen Con in Indianapolis. Some of your listeners may be familiar with basically the largest, the largest board game show or public board game show in North America. My brother and business partner Fabio was there for the week. Had himself a great time. We were showing off our new products. One is a little tongue-in-cheek named card game called Junk in My Trunk. And guys, this is relax a little bit there. This is a game that's all about being at the circus, and it's about elephants. So right, elephants have trunks and they're picking up junk. So anyway, a fun little game. We had an excellent response to it from the fans at Gen Con. The other one with more of a sports angle that's new for us and on the horizon is our fantasy baseball game. So, you know, think about this. You've got fantasy sports, which everybody loves, and we said, well, you know, why don't we make a board game that sort of simulates fantasy sports? Okay, well, we came up with a great way of doing that. What's the hook? What is it that's going to, you know, kind of get people interested? And we said, well, instead of having players and dealing with, you know, your standard position players, let's make all the players orcs and goblins and ghosts and all of these fantasy-type characters to add a little bit of fun. And again, a little sort of tongue-in-cheekness to the game. But the Kickstarter campaign for that one,
give us the website because then we gotta move on.
Yeah, you bet. It's csegames.com. One of the cool thing is Keith Law, baseball writer. Turns out he's a big board game fan, and we actually got an opportunity to meet him at Gen Con. So that was pretty cool. Check us out on Twitter at csegames.
Okay, so real quickly, I'm going to just give out what next week's games are, and we're just going to leave it there. Montreal, Edmonton on Thursday, Winnipeg, Toronto Friday, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Saturday, and then Hamilton and BC, also Saturday. That's the late game. We have a trivia question. You could answer it at 20-yard end zone on Twitter, so just go to at 20-yard end zone. Here's the question. The 1976 Ottawa Rough Riders were front and center with their 40th anniversary reunion, and the CFL announcement that Ottawa will host the 105th Grey Cup in 2017. What member of the 1976 Rough Riders was a first-round pick of the Montreal Expos? So people could answer that at 20yardendzone.com. We appreciate it. We appreciate you guys coming on. We'll be back next week, probably an hour earlier. And every Wednesday, just catch us here. You can go to sportsology.com. We'll put up a recap at some point. And you can go to Blog Talk and Audio Boom and listen to the replay. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you at the stadium.
London, the Strongbow Cloudy Apple Pub is coming to you. With guest landlord Johnny Vaughan popping in on Friday, DJ sets and live music on Saturday, plus the ultimate pub quiz on Sunday. The Strongbow Cloudy Apple Pop-Up Pub at Pub on the Park in London Fields, on from Thursday to Sunday. Visit thecloudyapple.com for more info. Strongbow Cloudy Apple. Premium refreshment. Aim high. Learn the facts at drinkaware.co.uk. Always drink responsibly.